إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. الحمد لله. We praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul, and created from it its mate, and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wounds that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen, and every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a strain, and every strain is in the hellfire. Last week we had went over some of the affairs of the jama'ah and the affairs of the imam, and we really didn't get a chance to go into it to the detail that we like to, even though we like to keep our classes as brief as we could. But these two points of the salah and the jama'ah being compulsory and the straightening the rows because of their importance, that this week inshallah ta'ala, that we just want to mention some of the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam around these two points. And we're going to be using the book Riyad al-Salihin or Gardens of the Righteous by Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, and he has the chapter of Fadlu Salat al-Jama'ah, the virtues of making salah in the jama'ah. And then he brings many hadith, and we'll start off with his second hadith, the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, salatu al-rajuli fi jama'atin tudha'afu ala salatihi fi baytihi wa fi suqihi 25 dha'fa. وذلك أنه إذا توضأ فأحسن الوضوء ثم خرج إلى المسجد لا يخرجه إلا الصلاة، لم يخطو خطوة إلا رفعت له بها درجة وحطت عنه بها خطيئة، فإذا صلى لم تزل ملائكة تصلي عليه ما دام في مصلاه، ما لم يحدث تقول اللهم صل عليه اللهم ارحمه ولا يزال في صلاة من تظر الصلاة. And this is collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the salah of a man in jama'ah is double the salah of a man in his house or in his market area where he's doing his business. 25 times more so. And that is because if he makes a wudu and then he makes the wudu good and then he goes out to the masjid and nothing takes him out to the masjid except to make salah in the masjid, then for every step that he takes, he will be raised a level, meaning a level in Jannah on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And every other step that he takes, a sin will be wiped away from him. And while he's making salah, the angels never stop praying for him while he's in the area where he's making his salah. So long as he doesn't break his wudu, the angels are saying, "Oh Allah, oh Allah, show your mercy on him. Oh Allah, show your mercy on him." And that a person is in his salat so long as he's waiting for the salat. Here in this hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is the first point that we wanted to bring out, is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shows us that the salat in the masjid is 25 times better than the salat in his house or in his place of business. And this is the encouragement from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the people to establish the salat, for the men to establish the salat in the masjid, seeking the reward of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also shows us that this is the way for the better reward in Jannah, by having your level raised in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Jannah from the steps that you take going towards the masjid. And that on the other steps that you take, your sins are being wiped away. So your bad deeds are being wiped away and your good deeds are just increasing. And this is a statement from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to encourage us to establish the salat in the masjid. And we could also use this for the people to understand that it's not just important to say that we have to establish the salat in the masjid, but we have to do what it takes to help us establish the salat in the masjid. And this means moving closer to the masjid. Islam, wa alaykum salam wa barakatuh. Islam now, alhamdulillah, it's been in America for a long time. And maybe in New York, people have the best example in front of them, as they've seen Chinatown and the other places built right here in New York. And the Muslims, we have Islam for a while and you don't see any community being built. And that's because nobody's taking the steps towards building the Muslim community. And this is that people have to take serious looks at their leases, and people have to look at where they're moving. And the issue isn't just moving in a nice neighborhood. The nice neighborhood is the neighborhood of the masjid. And the people have to look towards moving around the masjid so that they can take advantage of this reward that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is calling us to. This deen, alhamdulillah, it's a real deen and it's a practical deen. And we're not supposed to come and read these hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the ayah from the Quran and to think that there's no practice behind it. But we have to practice what we know from this deen of al-Islam. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam here is encouraging us to make the salat in the masjid, showing us this reward of it being 25 times better than your home or your place of work, showing us that each step that you take towards the masjid is going to be a level for you raised in Jannah and to wipe away one of your bad deeds. And the next hadith also from Abu Huraira, he says, أَتَى النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ رَجُلٌ أَعْمَى فَقَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ لَيْسَ لِي قَائِدٌ يَقُودُنِي إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ فَسَأَلَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَنْ يُرَخِّصَ لَهُ فَيُصَلِّ فِي بَيْتِهِ فَرَخَّصَ لَهُ فَلَمَّا وَلَّى دَعَاهُ فَقَالَ لَهُ هَلْ تَسْمَعُ النِّدَاءَ بِالصَّلَاةِ قَالَ نَعَمْ قَالَ فَأَجِبْ. And this is collected by Imam Muslim. Where Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he said that a blind man came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, "O Messenger of Allah, I don't have anyone to lead me to the masjid." And he asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to give him a concession so that he can make the salat in his house. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him permission to make the salat in his house. But then, after the man walked away, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him and asked him, "Do you hear the call to the salat?" And the man said, "Yes." And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Answer it." Here in this hadith, we're seeing that which the ulama used to show, that it's not just recommended for the men to make the salah in the jama'ah, but it's compulsory for them to make the salah in the jama'ah, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't even give the excuse for a blind man who doesn't know his way to the masjid and doesn't have anyone to guide him. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't give him an excuse to stay back from making the salah in the jama'ah. How much more for the people who have eyes and who have a way and know how to get to the masjid, how much more must they go to the masjid to establish the salah in jama'ah, as we see from this hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Some of the people, they use this hadith, or they understand from this hadith, I don't hear the adhan, and that's why I don't have to make the salah in jama'ah. Now we're going to talk about those people with this flimsy excuse, and it may be the excuse of the munafiqeen, as we'll see from some of the hadith coming, to say, I don't hear the adhan, so you don't have to establish the salah in jama'ah. This hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is showing the people that you have to establish the salah in the jama'ah. And he's asking the blind man, if you hear it, if you hear the adhan, answer it. Meaning, even if you don't have anybody to show you the way, let the call to the salah show you the way. Meaning, you hear it, alright, go in the direction where you hear the brother calling the adhan until you get to the masjid, or till you get close enough to the masjid where you can tell somebody, I'm blind, I can't see, can you bring me the rest of the way to the masjid? And this isn't for the people to understand it, that if you don't hear the masjid, if you don't hear the adhan, then it's not compulsory for you to go to the masjid, but it's compulsory for you to establish the salat in the masjid, whether you hear the adhan or you don't hear the adhan. As last week we mentioned the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that there's no salat for the one who hears the adhan for the salat and he doesn't answer the call. The next hadith of Abdullah, and they said it may be the hadith of Amr ibn Qais, al-Ma'ruf ibn Ummi Maktum, al-Mu'adhin radiyallahu anhu, annahu qala ya Rasulallah, إن المدينة كثيرة الهوام والسباع. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تسمع حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاء فحي هلا. This hadith of Abdullah, and some of the people say that his name is Amr ibn Qais, the one who is known as Ibn Ummi Maktum, the Mu'adhin of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu anhu. He said, Ya Rasulallah, indeed in Medina they have a lot of poisonous insects, like the scorpions and snakes and what have you, and they have the wild animals like the dogs who are astray or whatever you call them. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and he's saying, making this statement to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to show, I'm a blind man, I can't see the scorpions or the snakes or the wild dogs or what have you, so you have to let me make salat in my house. As he understood, and this is why he's asking the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam in the first place, as he understands that it's compulsory for the men to go to the salat. And here he's trying to find an excuse from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, if you do you hear hayya ala salah, hayya ala al-falah, and if so, then answer that call. So this is another statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just to begin to make this point clearer, that it's compulsory for the Muslim men to establish the salah in jama'ah. And the next hadith, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, والذي نفسي بيده لقد هممت أن آمر بحطب فيحتطب ثم آمر بالصلاة فيؤذن لها ثم آمر رجلا فيؤم الناس ثم أخالف إلى رجال فأحرق عليهم بيوتهم. And this is collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And the previous hadith was collected by Abu Dawood, and it's authentic. And this hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I swear by the one who my soul is in his hands, that I wanted to get some, command the people to get me some firewood, and then to set it on fire, and then to command someone to make the adhan for the salah, and then to command a man to lead the people in the salah, and then to go and to burn down the houses of the men who remained behind and didn't make the salah. Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith is making it even clearer that it's compulsory for the men to establish the salah in jama'ah in the masjid, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that he wanted to go back and burn down the houses of the people who didn't establish the salah in the jama'ah. And the ulama say that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam would never go to burn down someone's house if he didn't commit a sin. Or that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have never went to burn down somebody's house for not practicing a sunnah, or that which is recommended in this deen of al-Islam. As we know that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had answered the person who mentioned the five pillars of Islam and said that he wouldn't do any more than that. Then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if he does that, then he'll be successful. So here we see that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam, if he wanted to go burn down somebody's house, is showing the severity of the sin that they were committing by not establishing the salah in jama'ah. And this next hadith, collected by Abu Darda, رضي الله عنه, he said, سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول ما من ثلاثة في قرية ولا بدو لا تقام فيهم الصلاة إلا قد استحوذ عليهم الشيطان فعليكم بالجماعة فإنما يأكل الذئب من الغنم القاصية. And this is collected by Abu Dawood and it's authentic, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there won't be three people in a city or in a village that do not establish the salah except that the shaitan will conquer them. So I command you to make the jama'ah, because the fox gets the sheep that's out by himself. Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making it very clear. The shaitan is not going to conquer people, meaning that he's going to make you a sinner and disobedient to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning he's going to make you do what you're not supposed to do. And the only way he can conquer you is if you don't establish the salah in jama'ah, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying in this hadith. And he's commanding us to make the jama'ah, meaning to make the salah in jama'ah. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is commanding the people to establish the salah in jama'ah. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is warning you from not establishing it, or to say that the shaytan will conquer you if you don't. And this is why we see that the sins of the Muslims, unfortunately, are just as many as the sins of the kuffar, because they don't establish the salah in jama'ah, so the shaytan has conquered them. And that's why it's not surprising to find the Muslim men fornicating like cats and dogs and kuffar. It's not uncommon to see Muslims still getting high. It's not uncommon to see Muslims still robbing and stealing and what have you. It's not uncommon because the Muslims don't establish the salah in jama'ah. And many times, the imams of the community, they know that many of the big problems come from the brothers and the sisters, and more so the brothers, who don't establish the salah in jama'ah. As the sisters, it's not compulsory for them to establish the salah in jama'ah. So the problem comes from these brothers because the shaytan has conquered them, and they are all involved in the sins that they're involved, and they're just a burden and a headache on the imam and the community because the shaytan conquered them for not establishing the salah. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just makes this point clearer with his statement that the fox gets the sheep that's by himself. And that when you're by yourself and you're not in the jama'ah, and this is if you think that it's okay just to make your salah by yourself with the old excuse, well, at least I'm making salah. You might as well tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at least you're making salah. Because there's no need to tell the Muslims, because it's not going to benefit the Muslims by you telling them, at least I'm making salah. You have to tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who prescribed for you salah in jama'ah, At least I'm making salah and see if your Lord accepts this flimsy excuse from you. Here Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing you that the fox gets the sheep that's by itself. When you're not in the jama'ah, then it's easy for the shaitan to get you and to make you a sinner. But when you establish in the salah and the jama'ah and you're holding fast to the jama'ah, then the shaitan, he can't handle you. He can't work with you. He can't conquer you because he's running away from the adhan and he's running away from the jama'ah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep the shaitan away from us. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said, من سره أن يلقى الله تعالى غدا مسلما فليحافظ على هؤلاء الصلوات حيث ينادى بهن فإن الله شرع لنبيكم صلى الله عليه وسلم سنن الهدى وإنهن من سنن الهدى ولو أنكم صليتم في بيوتكم كما يصلي هذا المتخلف في بيته لتركتم سنة نبيكم ولو تركتم سنة نبيكم لضللتم ولقد رأيتنا وما يتخلف عنهما إلا منافق معلوم النفاق ولقد كان الرجل يؤتى به يهادى بين الرجلين حتى يقام في الصف وفي رواية له قال إن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم علمنا سنن الهدى وإن من سنن الهدى الصلاة في المسجد الذي يؤذن فيه. And this hadith and this author collected by Imam Muslim and it's authentic. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and the companion of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم رضي الله عنه, he says, whoever loves to meet Allah tomorrow as a Muslim, and then let him guard the salah where the adhan is being called for the salah, because indeed Allah has prescribed for His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the sunnahs of guidance, and indeed the salah in the masjid, or the salat where the places where the adhans are called in the masjids, are from the sunans of guidance. The sunnas of guidance. And if you were to make salat in your houses, like the one who remains behind from the jama'ah and makes salat in his house, then you would have left the sunnah of your prophet. And if you left the sunnah of your prophet, you would have gone astray. And in the narration of Abu Dawood, la kafartum, you would have disbelieved. And indeed, we used to see that nobody would remain behind from this salah except the one who is a munafiq, and it was well known that he was a munafiq. Indeed, a man would have two men to carry him and to place him in the ranks. And this is referring to a man who is sick. He'd have two people to carry him to the masjid and then to just prop him up in the row to show that everybody would make the salah in jama'ah. And in the other narration, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us the sunnahs of guidance. And from the sunnahs of guidance is salat in the masjid where the adhan is being called. Here from the statement of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, we see that from the sunnahs of guidance is the salah in the masjid where the adhan is being called. And whoever leaves this sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has gone astray, and in the other narration has disbelieved. And that here Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he's describing him as a munafiq, and his nifaq is well known, because he's not establishing the salah in the jama'ah. And this narration of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, this shows that the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they also understood from the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, that it was compulsory to establish the salah in the jama'ah. And some people, they also use this narration of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud as they had used the other narration, if you hear the adhan, as excuses to say that it's not compulsory to establish the salah in jama'ah. This issue of I don't hear the adhan. What are you going to say about the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam when he said there not be three people in the city who doesn't establish the salat except that the shaitan would conquer them? Where are you going to run from that hadith? When you say, I don't hear the adhan, that's why we don't establish salat in the jama'ah, then what excuse are you going to get to say that the shaitan hasn't conquered you? And really we've seen the brothers who don't make salat in jama'ah, and you see how shaitan has conquered them because their deen is weak. The knowledgeable amongst them and the ignorant. Whoever doesn't establish the salat in the jama'ah, his deen will be known. And just as Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says, he's like a munafiq and his nifaq is clearly known. As the people use this narration to say that he said this is from the sunnahs of guidance. And they say, see, he didn't say that it was compulsory. This sunnah is compulsory. And here what he means is sunnah, he means from the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As dhuhr for raka'at, is that sunnah? Yes, it's sunnah. Because you don't find it mentioned in the Quran that dhuhr is for raka'at, that asr is for raka'at, that maghrib is three raka'at, two raka'at aloud and one silent. You don't find it in the Quran, you find it in the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is there anybody to say that it's not compulsory to make dhuhr four raka'at, I can make it three or two or one? Is there somebody to say that he can make Maghrib, all of them silent and none of them allowed? To say that it's only Sunnah, I don't have to do it? Even this term, only Sunnah, is a term of a people who don't understand Islam. This Sunnah means that which was prescribed by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as being compulsory, not recommended. And this word Sunnah, it has a few meanings. Just amongst the meanings, and this is from amongst the meanings of the fuqaha or the later generation scholars, that they say it means recommended. But the word sunnah also means from that which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has prescribed for us, as we see in this example of the hadith. So nobody is on the straight path and guided except that he establishes salat in the masjid. And what do you think about a people who only establish Jumu'ah and Sunday morning after the ta'leem, dhuhr, salat in the masjid, except that they are straight? And then when you mention that group of Muslims, everybody say, why are you picking on the Muslims, calling them astray? They are astray because they left the sunnah of establishing the salat in jama'ah in the masjid. And these are evidences to make it clear to us that this salat in jama'ah in the masjid is compulsory on the men, and everyone has to do his best to either change his place of residence or to make his effort to come to the masjid, or to be astray, or to eventually disbelieve, as you're not going to the masjid and not being around the Muslims, and then you're leaving off the salat in jama'ah. It's just a matter of time before the shaitan finally conquers you, until he just takes you all the way out. And the shaitan, he takes the people out of Islam little by little. He doesn't get you all at once. Oh, the masjid is too far, he says. The shaitan is talking to you, whispering to you. The masjid is too far. You don't hear the adhan. You know the hadith said if you hear the adhan, you ain't hear no adhan. It's too far. Alright, make it in your house. You still Muslim, you making your salat. If the brothers say, I don't see you in the masjid, say, Akhi, I'm making salat. I'm Muslim. And the shaitan, he's just playing with you. La'anatullahi alayhi. So here he's conquering you by tricking you into thinking it's okay to make salat in your house. Alright, you're losing out on the reward, you're staying behind from your responsibility, he got you still thinking you're Muslim. But now he's able to conquer you a little more. And then the next thing you know, he'll tell you he's in your house. Oh, you know you gotta take care of this, you know you gotta do that. Wait till the TV program is off. You know the movie takes 3 hours, you still got a little more time. I still can make up your salat. This deen is easy, and then the next time you know, you're not making salat no more. And then the next thing you know, you're outside of this deen of al-Islam, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to let us die on this deen of al-Islam. And this is the importance of making the salat and jama'ah. The other point is the point that the Muslims, or many of the Muslims, have belittled. And this is the point of straightening the rows. Many of the Muslims who have taken ignorance for their intellect have thought that these worldly politics and these affairs are more important than the affairs that the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام has given. As the Muslims say, أخي. And we saw it with some of the brothers as we're straightening the rows. Tell them, what do you think I am? In the army or something? Straightening the rows like that. Brother looking, walking up and down the rows like we are in boot camp somewhere. Muslims getting killed all over the world. The Kafir government is trying to figure out how they're going to wipe out Muslims in America. And all you can do is try to tell the brother, move your foot over here a little bit like that. My foot was only 1 inch out of place. And the Muslims, they use this ignorance that they call their intellect to belittle the deen of al-Islam. And to belittle that which is more important than the things that they think are important. What is important in this deen is what Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has deemed as important. And that nobody, because of his own ignorance, can say that this is more important than that, but that this is left up to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to decide for us what is important and what isn't important. And what's important is straightening the rows. Especially when it comes to the issue that the Muslims are always crying about, that we have to be more united. How are you going to be united if you can't straighten the rows in the masjid, as we see from this hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Abu Mas'ud radiallahu anhu qala, kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yamsahu manakibana fi salah wa yaqulu istawu wa la takhtalifu fatakhtalifa qulubukum لِيَلِيَنِّي مِنْكُمْ أُولُو الْأَحْلَامِ وَالنُّهَى ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. And this is collected by Imam Muslim. Where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, where Abu Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to wipe our shoulders in the salat, making sure that everybody's lined up shoulder to shoulder. And this is what he's meaning by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is wiping our shoulders, making sure that the rows are straight. And he used to say, straighten, istawu, or straighten the rows. Make sure your rows are straight and don't leave them crooked, or Allah would make your hearts differ. And this is the point that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing, that you will be divided if your rows are crooked. So if you don't straighten your rows, then you'll be divided, and then when you're divided, you're conquered. And we see that we're conquered because we're divided, and we're divided because we're not holding on to that which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has commanded us by belittling this point with our ignorance. It's not important. Who made you intelligent to say that something isn't important in this deen from your own ignorance? It's not for the people to decide what's important and what's not, as we see that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had made this issue very important, as he says that we will be divided if we let our roads remain crooked. And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, let the ones who are of age and who are intelligent and bright and knowledgeable to be the ones closest to me, meaning closest to the Imam, and then those that follow them, and then those that follow them. And here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is just showing us that when the rows are to be, when the Muslims line up for the Salah, that the people closest to the Imam are those who memorize the most Quran, and those people who have knowledge of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then after that. So the people who are less in their knowledge of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and in memorization of the Quran, then they're going to be back according to how much they know, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to line up with the most knowledgeable people in the front, and not the people who think that because they accepted Islam 30 years ago, maybe in 30 years he doesn't even know 30 ayahs from the Quran. Maybe in 30 years he doesn't know 30 hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Maybe in 30 years he doesn't even know 30 Arabic words from the Arabic language. And this is the only thing that he's gotten in 30 years is 30,000 sins. This doesn't give a person the right to be in the front, oh, he's the sheikh because he accepted Islam 30 years. You think that if he accepted Islam 30 years ago, that he would have benefited of 30 years of Islam by memorizing the Quran, memorizing the hadith of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, understanding the verdicts of this deen, learning more about this Arabic language which is compulsory for the Muslims to learn. Some people think that, oh, put the brother up in the front, he's an Arab. Put the brother up in front, he's a Pakistani, he was born in Islam. The Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the one who gave us the virtues of who is going to be up in the front, and they are the people who know this deen. Not the people who are just born in Islam, or because he's an Arab, or this or that, that somebody's going to be in the front. Everybody has to learn this deen. Everybody has to learn this deen of al-Islam, no matter what country he's from or what race he's from. And the one who learns it gets those virtues, and the one who doesn't, then let him take the back rules, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam explains to us in this hadith. And the next hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, أَقِيمُ الصُّفُوفَ وَحَاذُوا بَيْنَ الْمَنَاكِبِ وَسُدُّ الْخَلَلِ ولينوا بأيدي إخوانكم ولا تذروا فرجات للشيطان ومن وصل صفا وصله الله ومن قطع صفا قطعه الله. And this is collected by Abu Dawood and it's authentic, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, straighten the rows and make sure that your shoulders are equal to one another, and fill in the gaps, and have your arms next to the arms of your brothers. And here the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is just showing that you should be tight up against one another. And then the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, don't leave any gaps for the shaytan. And this is how the shaytan comes into our ranks and to divide our hearts. And this is why you find that the Muslims don't even trust one another. Why you don't trust one another? Because you don't line up straight with one another in your rules for the salat. Why you don't love one another? Because you don't even stand up in your rules in the salat. And these are the points that the Muslims are always crying about, that we don't trust one another, that, oh, the brother is slick, that we don't love one another, and what have you. And this is because we don't line up straight in the rules when we establish the salat, as this is amongst the things that would help us trust one another and love one another and to keep our hearts together. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he ends this hadith with this statement, whoever connects the rows, then Allah would connect him. Meaning Allah would show his mercy on him. And that whoever breaks the rows, then Allah would break him off from his mercy. Meaning Allah would cut him off from the mercy of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala for cutting himself off of the rows, and for letting the shaytan in the rows, and for not keeping the gaps closed, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam has commanded us. This last point that we wanted to bring is the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَتِمُّ الصَّفَّ الْمُقَدَّمَ ثُمَّ الَّذِي يَلِيهِ فَمَا كَانَ مِن نَقْصٍ فَلْيَكُنْ فِي الصَّفِّ الْمُؤَخَّرِ. And this is collected by Abu Dawood, and it's authentic, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, complete the first rows, then those that follow them, and whatever row is incomplete, then let it be the last row. Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us, don't start another row until the row before you is complete. And sometimes we don't see this in our masjids because our masjids are too small. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to let us put our money where our mouths are by building bigger houses of Allah for the number of Muslims that are accepting Islam. And I made this point a few times before, to say that the masjids have been around for 20 years. And you got maybe 5 million Muslims accept Islam in this 20 years, and the masjid is still the same size as it was 20 years ago. This is because we don't put our money down to build a house for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala big enough for the Muslims. It's almost as if we're the ones making Islam a revolving door by keeping the masjid so small so that only a certain amount of people can accept Islam. And then it's almost as if it's compulsory on the older Muslims to leave Islam so to make room for the new people who want to accept Islam. Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us to fill up the rows before the other rows. And I'm saying this because when the people make the Umrah this year, or the Hajj this year, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded you to make the Umrah and the Hajj for His sake, then when you make the Hajj and the Umrah in the big masjids that you'll see, Al-Masjid Al-Haram in Mecca, where the Kaaba is, and the Masjid Al-Nabawi, the Masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina, you'll see that these masjids are big enough for 25,000, 30,000 and upwards of Muslims. And that sometimes the row before you is not complete. And the people are still establishing rows before the ones before them are complete. So when you make your Hajj and Umrah, if you don't see that this hadith is applicable to you right now, you'll see that it's applicable to you when you go to the bigger masjids, until you get the seriousness about your deen to build some bigger masjids right here in America, that when you go there, you'll make sure that you're not amongst the people who start a new row, or in a row that's incomplete, or in a row that the row before you is incomplete. And these are just some of the verdicts pertaining to straightening the rows and the issue of the salat being compulsory in jama'ah for the men. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us practice what we know of this deen of al-Islam. Wa subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I don't know if there were any questions related to today's topic of making salah in jama'ah or straightening the rows. If so, then we'll handle that now, inshallah ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, I just wanted to make one point, and this was a point that we have made in the khutbah this past Jumu'ah. And this is the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, collected by Ibn Hibban, and it's authentic, where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَنِ الْتَمَسَ رِضَى اللَّهِ بِسَخَطِ النَّاسِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ وَعَرْضَ عَنْهُ النَّاسِ وَمَنِ الْتَمَسَ رِضَى النَّاسِ بِسَخَطِ اللَّهِ سَخِطَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَأَسْخَطَ عَلَيْهِ النَّاسِ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, whoever tries to earn the pleasure of Allah at the expense of the hatred of the people, of earning the people's hatred of him, then Allah would be pleased with him. And then Allah would make the people pleased with him. And whoever tries to earn the pleasure of the people by the anger of Allah, by earning the anger at the expense of the anger of Allah, then Allah would be angry with him, and then Allah would eventually make the people angry with him. Here in this hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we wanted to bring this as next week we're not going to be here, inshallah. We want to take a break. And we want to encourage ourselves to be sincere to what we learn of this deen by practicing it, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us in this hadith. And that is that if you want to earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then don't be concerned about what the people say about you. Oh, why did you move to that apartment by the masjid? The place where you were was better. How could the place where you were be better than the place next to the masjid of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala? Or that the disbelievers, they're trying to call you back into kufr by making fun of you when you accepted Islam. Or even by the deviant Muslims who don't understand Islam, and you're trying to practice the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why are you dressing like that? Or they tell the sisters, you don't have to wear all of that. Or whatever fun that they try to make of the Muslims trying to learn Islam. You don't have to memorize all of that Quran. You don't have to learn all of that hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You don't have to go to all of those classes. And then they are upset with you because you're trying to practice Islam. If you practice Islam to earn the pleasure of Allah, then Allah is going to be pleased with you. And then Allah is going to make the people pleased with you. Because after a while, when you're firm on your worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after a while the people will just let you alone, and they say, that's a serious brother. Even the kuffar, they won't have anything to say anymore. They say, what about our boy so and so? They say, no, he really into that thing. Don't even ask him to do that no more. He's serious about that. And then the people start respecting you after they used to make mockery of you, of calling you to kufr. You'll find they won't even call you to kufr anymore. That they'll respect you and you would have already earned their pleasure, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is explaining to us in this hadith. Even the deviant Muslims. And we remember them, they used to try to make fun of the Muslims by saying, you're trying to imitate the Arabs. Many Muslims hadn't even saw an Arab before. Never even been to the Arab countries before. Don't even know where the Arabs live at amongst the ones who in America. And the people used to say, oh, you down chasing them Arabs down or something like that. And now that the Muslims are just practicing Islam, you find that this statement is almost not even made anymore. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Because they see that the people are just practicing in Islam. And that they're dressing like Muslims, alhamdulillah. And you see that the people, after a while, just become to respect that person. And even you see some of the people of deviance, who used to try to make fun of the people who practice Islam, now they even go to them and ask them, is there an ayat concerning such and such? Is there a hadith concerning such and such? Because he knows that you are serious about what you're on. And this is, inshallah ta'ala, what the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, is encouraging us to be sincere and